Welcome to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast presented by Calvary Baptist Church in Gainesville, Georgia. We are a small but growing group of believers in Jesus Christ and want to invite you and your family to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. The church is located at 1370 Calvary Church Road in Gainesville. And now to bring you today's message, here's Pastor Raymond Laddie.
We're going to be in the Song of Songs. Anybody ever read the Song of Songs, also known as the Song of Solomon? That's an interesting book, isn't it? It is the romance novel of the Bible. Really interesting wording, really interesting information. It's kind of a picture of God and His love to His children. It's also a picture of two young lovers. It's a romantic book. And we're going to go from there to John 15:5. So we're going to look at this. And we're not going to read all this. Some of this you kind of can't read in a pulpit. Some of it's that good, I guess. But there's some great wisdom here because Solomon. Now, I guess Solomon had to write stuff like this because he had a lot of wives, didn't he? I guess he had to be on his toes all the time. How many wives did Solomon have? Anybody remember? Quite a few. Hundreds, I guess. 700, something like that. It was a practice of their day. But we're going to look at some of this today because it says so much about what we can change. Ben did an excellent, excellent devotion this morning. Devotion time is a special time that we kind of get our minds and our hearts right to go into the Sunday school rooms and to learn and then to come, you know, back out here and worship. So if you can get here, I know a lot of you travel a long way. It's understandable if you can't. There's really great resources in our devotions and in our Sunday school especially. So Ben talked about all the things going on in the world, how we've strayed away from the old path, as Jeremiah said. And he said something that really stuck with me is, you know, sometimes we feel like there's very little we can do about anything. We go cast our vote. You know, we try to be good citizens. We try to be good contributors to society. But sometimes it just seems like we don't have much influence over anybody or anything, do we? For the most part, it seems like that. There's so many people in the world. There's so many differing opinions. There's so many divisions or what have you. But I want to tell you and use this as the foundation of this message today where you can have impact and where you have more impact than you realize, and that's in your home. That's in your home. And we're going to call it our vineyard because you might know what a vineyard is. Big farm full of grapes. They're really growing in northeast Georgia, in the mountains. There are vineyards everywhere now. They make wine. They are wedding venues, too. When I was doing some other types of work earlier on, we would go and service some of these vineyards in the North Georgia mountains, and they're beautiful places. Usually they have the vineyards. They have the place where they, you know, stomp out the grapes, or they press the grapes to get the wine and to start the process. But then usually they have a beautiful, it's like a gazebo or even bigger than that, almost like a dining hall type thing, open air, where people can come and celebrate in the midst of that vineyard. And there's lights, and there's usually beautiful views of the mountains or wherever it may be. So a lot of people these days have their weddings there. Beautiful place to have a wedding. I'm of the old school. I believe the best place to have a wedding is in God's house. That's my opinion, but I guess it doesn't always work out that way. But the vineyard is a picture of the home. A vineyard is a picture of a place that is productive, and vineyards take a lot of maintenance. We would go spray for bugs around the kiosk or the dining hall area or whatever. We'd look for every ant that we could find, every ant hill. But that's even just a small part of it. They have to go, you know, prune those grapes, trim them down. You have to make sure that, I know that there's a vineyard right up 129, right before you start getting into the mountains up there toward the Chesapeake area on the right. It goes back toward the mountains. They had a bunch of wild pigs get in that vineyard a couple years ago and had a time. Lost a lot of vines and stuff almost overnight, so they had to go in there and, you know, repel them. So there's always a pest, whether it be a bug or a wild boar or something. There's always work to be done. But if that vineyard is taken care of, and if that vineyard is maintained as it should be, through a lot of hard work, through a lot of sweat, through a lot of effort, and a lot of faith, Man, there's nothing better than grape juice. Notice I didn't say wine, right? There's nothing better. You know, wine in some ways is good, you know. I mean, the Bible talks about it. It's a medicinal thing. But you have to be careful with that. But there's nothing better than the smell of grapes, the taste of grapes, the benefit that comes from whatever the produce is, whether you buy the grapes or the product of those grapes being squeezed. And that's a picture we're going to see of a home and building a home and how important this is and how you can affect society and people around you by how you tend your vineyard. First, let's talk a little bit about Song of Solomon or Song of Songs. I'm going to read a little bit. This is from chapter 4. Now we have a lot of young couples here. Some are already married. Some are about to get married. We have a lot of young couples here that have been married for a long time. We have some folks here that are, you know, just dating. We have some folks that will begin to date very soon. But I want to tell you, share with you some pickup lines from the Bible, okay? Now, be careful with these, all right? So if we go to chapter 4, verse 1, I do not take any disclaimer. Don't, if you use these and they don't work, don't blame your pastor, okay? Verse 1 of chapter 4, it says lover in my Bible. How beautiful are you, my darling? That's great, isn't it? How beautiful are you? He's complimenting her. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. So, is it okay, ladies, is it a compliment if you say your eyes look like doves today? I don't know. That's up to you and your significant other, I guess. Andrew, I can see Andrew seeing that as he lifts the veil in a couple of months. But, you know, just be careful there. All right, that's a good one. Here's one of my favorites right here. Your hair is like a flock of goats. Now, I don't know if that's going to get you anywhere. Hey, darling, you look nice tonight. Your hair looks like a flock of goats. So, descending from Mount Gilead. So your hair looks like a bunch of sheep coming down trails off of mountains. Okay, here's a good one. Your teeth are just like a flock of sheep that have just been shorn. So your teeth look like sheep who have been sheared. Okay, I guess that's saying thank you for brushing your teeth or not. I don't know. Coming up from the washing. Each has his twin. None of them is alone. Verse 3, your lips are like a scarlet ribbon. That's a pretty good one. I like that one. Your mouth is lovely. Not bad. This one is probably not a good one. Your temples behind your veil are like the halves of a pomegranate. So they're red and throbbing. I don't know. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built with elegance. So your neck looks like a fortified tower. I like that. All right. And it goes on and on and on. It's very beautiful language. You have to understand that the people that wrote this and the people that read this, our grandparents would have understood this kind of stuff better. They were from rural farming and pastoral societies. I guess that the writer looked up and saw, you know, the goats coming off the mountain at sunset, flowing down the mountainside, and he thought about his lady's hair. I don't know. I guess that's what it was. But beautiful language. Again, some of it we cannot read in the pulpit, but it talks about love and how wonderful love is and what a wonderful thing it is for a young man and a young lady to get together and do it God's way. That's the key. And when you do that and you get together, we'll see a warning from the Song of Songs. Let's go back to chapter 2 and verse 14, and we'll read 15 as well. So in their day, vineyards were huge. Vineyards are huge in our day. If you go to the grocery store and buy grape juice, if you love to get out this time of year and go to the apple orchard, you get cider, same application. You know, all these things are very productive. But a lot of work goes on, and that's what I want to apply to building a vineyard, if you will, or a home, and how to maintain it. It's not easy. It takes a lot of work. We'll get to more of that in just a moment. Verse 14, this is again entitled to the lover. You would have lover and beloved. It's the man talking to the woman talking to the man, a lot of symbolism. He says, "My dove in the clefts of the rock and the hiding places on this mountainside, show me your face." Maybe he's saying, "Your hair is bad today. Can you get it out of your face so I can see your face? Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." And then he goes on to say, "Catch for us." This is the lady, I think, talking to the male, or the male talking to the female. I think it's the first one. I'm not sure. "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." So they have something, and they have something in common here. God has given them a vineyard. It can be applied to their love. It can be applied to their relationship. Eventually, it will be applied to the home that they start and they build. And it's not easy. If we do it the right way, it's not easy. Now, all of us make mistakes, and we fall short, and God will forgive us, and we can move forward, but all of this is important. So what the lovers are saying to each other is, we love each other. We have something special here. This is something that God did. God put us together. We are bound together for a reason. We have something wonderful, our love, which will be physically manifested in our home and one day probably with our children. We have something to defend. We have something to defend. We have something to maintain. We have something to defend because it is worth maintaining and defending. Because you are honoring God. If you have faith in God, you are honoring Him, and you are seeking to do things the way God would have you to do them. Now, sometimes vineyards don't work out and we go to another vineyard. That's a different story here. But I want to speak to you today because some of you are preparing your vineyard, right? I remember when Amy and I dated, and I went and proposed to Amy in her classroom. I got there before she did. I coerced, paid off, bribed the lunchroom ladies at Myers and all this other stuff, and got them to let me into her room. Thankfully, I'd gone to school there. I knew a lot of them, and I was waiting for her. It was April the 19th of 2002. Ain't that right? Got that. Ooh, yeah. Long time ago. So I was waiting on her, and as she come in, she was scared to death of what I was doing. I was sitting there in the dark. Can you imagine that? And anyway, make a long story short, we were engaged that day. And it was short of my salvation, it's been the greatest time of my life. I'm not always as good to her as I should be. I am a knuckleheaded man sometimes, but she is, she's the light of my life, second only to Jesus, and then my children. But I remember our first place was where Ashley and Chad's living now. I moved a whole 100 yards away from where I was raised. Right across the kudzu filled gully. I moved across there, and it might as well have been to China, I tell you. So began to set up household, had to move out a lady that had lived there, it happened to be my great aunt, that had lived through the Great Depression. How you could get that much stuff in a double wide trailer is beyond me. I didn't think I was ever gonna get that stuff cleaned out. So we did. I was preparing the vineyard because that was gonna be our home. And I know some of you on the same road or in the same area, you're doing that today. Some of you have had a vineyard for years. You've raised children. You've sent them out of that vineyard. Maybe they've come back to the vineyard, some of them. That's okay. You see your grandchildren in your vineyard. It's a place where we can glorify God by how we run that vineyard, and a place that we can expand the kingdom of God. And it's also a place that, it's just special to us. You never forget. I don't care if you rent it or you buy it. I feel for our younger couples today because things are unaffordable. Let's just be honest. It's a tragedy in our nation. But if you rent it or whatever it is, you never forget that place where you first live. You never forget it. I don't forget it because I drive by it every day, but the memories made there. We had our first child there. It happened to be Nathan. I mean, that was a wonderful place and will always hold a special place in my heart. But in preparing that vineyard, there's more to it than just painting. There's more to it than just moving in furniture and getting everything just right. That's a wonderful part of it. I mean, I never will forget painting that trailer. It hadn't been painted, I guess, since my great aunt bought it with my father-in-law, or soon-to-be father-in-law. And that was quite the adventure. We got it painted. Also, I'll never will forget, because I almost died that day, we were putting up a TV antenna. Can you believe that? A TV antenna, one of those long things with a... We almost hit a power line with that thing, putting it up. And it didn't faze him. I was shocked, almost literally, but shocked without being shocked. Anyway, just great memories, just great memories. But it goes further than that. It goes to a spiritual place. And everything else is going to flow out of that. Your relationship with God. Your men, women, you should love God more than your significant other. And that sounds strange, that sounds crude, but if you love God more than them, then as time goes on and that vineyard grows and the fruits of the vine begin to become evident, you're going to be able to love them properly, correctly, and even more as the days go on. I don't tell Amy enough. I love her more and more every day because she's put up with my foolishness, a lot of it, and done so. She works all the time. And I have not done anything wrong this week. I'm just saying some things that I know of. I've been saying some things that need to be said. And we had a lot of people that prayed for us. I know a lot of you older folks, y'all had a lot of people, you had people praying for you. Had a lot of mentors that weren't afraid to tell me the truth and say, boy, that ain't how you do that. They did it out of love. I mean, it hurt my feelings a little bit, but they were right as I grow older. I had people that gave us stuff. But those prayers... Let me tell you something. You're at a place where you're coming home, the home that you will live in, and your relationship can make a huge difference in this world today. Now, it's not going to be perfect. You're going to have disagreements. You know, sometimes it's funny because your biggest disagreements will end up over being something so trivial, you know, like cabbage, like it was for my mom and dad, or something like that, but things build up. You know, you have the pressures of making a living. You have the pressures of meeting each other's needs. You have the pressures of, you know, being good at your profession. You have the pressures today. I mean, it seems like there's so much more intense today, but I'm here to tell you something, and I want young people, I want you to know this. If you do things God's way, it may hurt, and it will hurt sometimes. He will bless you later on in ways you can't imagine. Keep the faith. I'm so proud to see these young people, you know, coming into their own. It's so cool because this is 25 years in Awana, and it's like those first Awana kids we have, they have Awana kids now. I love that. And be praying for Ashley, because it's like Rosie may make a grand entrance this toward the end of this week if everything goes well. Pray for her and that baby and that family. Just to see young people who still have some of those old values and follow those old paths is so encouraging. And think about this, you're going to be an example to those around you. Pressures are heavy to fit in. We talked about that in Sunday school. Pressures and peer pressure exist outside of high school classrooms to do this and to go out and to party and to do all these other things. You can't do it any better than what God has set forth and the way that he says to do it. So the vineyard owner, or these two that have this vineyard, say, we've got to watch out for the little foxes. We've got to watch out for the little foxes. Right now, you know, if you have any in your yard or not, if you don't, or on your place, you're missing out. Persimmons are dropping like crazy. Muscadines have faded away, which are the grapes. Now we have the persimmons. They're dropping like crazy. And what'll happen is that evening you go, wow, I need to come and pick these up. You know, let's say, well, I'll do it the next morning. You go out there the next morning and they're gone. During the night, literally, the foxes and the coyotes and the other night critters have come and feasted on those persimmons. You waited too long. You better get them right then if you possibly can. And you'll see they love those things better than muscadines, I think. It's just like that in a marriage or setting up a new home. You have to watch out for the foxes. What are the little foxes that seek to run the vineyards? Well, in Solomon's day, they would come into the vineyard and they would attack the vines. They would eat the fruit. They would dig up under the vines. They would strip off the bark, which is going to kill those grapevines. The lover's warning to the other lover was that the little things can ruin your vineyard. Little things. I'm going to tell you some of the things that I believe they're talking about. Perfectionism. Jealousy. Be appreciative of what God has given you. Don't worry about what somebody else has, if it's bigger or better. Thank God for what He's given you. Thank God for that person that He's placed in your life. Give God the honor and the glory for that individual. Love them. Try to serve them. Men, we're not to lord it over our wives or to make them some kind of object. We are to treat them with the utmost respect and loyalty and love and to sacrifice for them, which I'm not always good at doing. Paul talked about it. He says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. They're not saying, you know, society, since the women's liberation movement has taught us that that is wrong and that's horrible. It's not what that means at all. It means that you love him and try to, you know, meet him halfway or whatever the situation may be. But you go on and read and it says, husbands, give your lives for your wives if you need to, if it needs to happen. It's a mutual agreement. One's not better than the other. We have different roles. We have different abilities. When God places those together, it's like Christ in the church. The church is called the bride. Christ gave himself for the church. The church is supposed to submit to Christ, and we don't do that. And sometimes we wonder, when we don't start there, sometimes we wonder why our home life isn't as good as it should be. Because we've never submitted to Jesus. How in the world are we going to submit to our husbands? Husbands, how in the world are we going to give ourselves for our wives when the time comes? If we've never believed that Jesus or accepted the fact that Jesus has done that for us. You see, you have to build a foundation. A vineyard doesn't grow up overnight. You got to set out those little grape slips, don't you? Some of you that have grapes, you know what goes into it. You have to set them out, and you have to put the protections around them. And then they'll start running. You have to put up the lattice or the wires or however you do it. You have to do that. Expecting a harvest. It takes a lot of work. Marriage is work. Marriage is putting yourself, making yourself number two many times for the betterment of the marriage. Marriage is getting together and doing it now, feeling that person out now, praying together, working through books together, going to Sunday school together, getting in church, and then seeing how that relationship progresses. That's the key to having a productive vineyard. If we just worry about homes, which is important, you have to have a place to live. But if we just go and do the painting and do the building and do the whatever it is, just like we want it, and we leave God out of that house, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. It's going to be more heartache. There's going to be more problems. There's going to be a possibility that whole vine withers away and dies, that love withers away and dies. Listen, there are some days my wife don't like me. Okay? And she is grinning. A lot of days. If it ends in Y, that's the day she don't like me. Okay? There are days that she tells me something I really don't want to hear, but I know she's right. And I'll kind of sull up and pout like a little boy, you know. But she's right. But I understand that I'm flawed. And I understand that she's flawed. I'm more flawed, I think, than she is. And if we get back together, and I'm not afraid to tell her that I'm sorry, which I did yesterday about something. I'm sorry. And I was, because I say things sometimes I ought not to say. I'm sorry, and I love you. And that my vineyard, I'm going to do my best to see it grow and to see it be protected. Amen. Listen, that's really the only thing we have today is your home. I mean, you look at the politics and the divisions and all that kind of stuff. Where can I make the most difference in my home? What was it that I think Mother Teresa said? The hand that rocks the cradle, Ashley, is the hand that rules the world. Boy, that's profound, isn't it? Because you're shaping little babies and they become big toddlers. And they become little boys and little girls. And they become men and women. What they are surrounded with and they hear within that vineyard, they're going to go out and spread it and grow and produce the same fruit. But many times today, our vineyards are just absolutely in tatters because we've invited in the things of the world. Now, we all struggle and fall short. I would be the number one. I'm probably the weak link in our family many times on this. But we have to, men and women, when it comes to children and each other, we have to say, I love you, but that is not acceptable. That language, that show, this, that, or the other, you're protecting. Listen, you have a vineyard. That child's going to go out that day and he's going to spread the fruit that's being produced there. You see what I'm saying? They're going to grow into that same kind of fruit. So our homes are everything. And it's been destroyed in this country. I mean, not even knowing what gender we are. You think Satan's laughing and thumbing his nose at God? Say, look what I did. Look what I was able to do. I got into houses and I got into homes and I led people astray. And it's just terrible. I'm so thankful for those that raised me. And they were not perfect. But their vineyard was worth loving, protecting, and looking to the master gardener and saying, Lord, I need your help here. I made a mistake. I spent too much money. Guilty. I said something I shouldn't have said. Guilty. Lord, help me to mend that. Help me to tie that up, if you will, so that it can bear fruit. What I'm trying to tell you today is God can and will use you, and you're at a pivotal, important time in your life. Oh, my goodness, you got everything ahead of you. I remember it. It's such an exciting time. Your emotions, you know, are kind of raw. I mean, it's just wonderful. You love that person. It's the way it's meant to be. You leave your mother and your father and you go out and you begin your family. You know, it's the way God made it to be fruitful and multiply. But in that process, he's begging and pleading, don't forget me. Make me the centerpiece of your home. Take some time to pray. Take some time to get together and work through a booklet and to look at the Word and say, I remember the first date that we had, and I'll hush about all that. We went to Pole Folks. Anybody remember Folks? Pole got to be politically incorrect. Well, the folks I come from was Pole, okay? We went on a date there, and the first thing we went to high school together. We talked about some little things, our salvation. We didn't do it perfectly. Please don't misunderstand me. Our salvation, and it became the basis for everything. Everything. And I'm thankful for that. That vineyard, you're in those beginning stages. It's going to be wonderful, your home. But there are some ways that you must honor God. And I'll just go ahead and say this. Number one, you honor the marriage bed. I took my wife home when we got home from our honeymoon into that house for the first time to stay overnight with me. First time. Okay? The marriage bed. It's been made a mockery in our country. Live together, run off if that person don't make you happy and go live with. It's just an absolute. Animals do better. Animals have mates for life a lot of the time. Honor the marriage bed. Yeah, we make mistakes. That's true. But say today, I start here. Mark the day. Mark the time. I start here and I live for God. And I'll do things His way. Bible says you have to be equally yoked. If one's pulling toward Christ and the other one's pulling toward the world, you ain't going to get no plowing done. You're not going to have a good harvest.
Thank you so much for listening to the Calvary Baptist Church broadcast. To hear more of this service, other past services, or to learn more about our programs and ministries, feel free to check out our website, calvarybcgainesville.org.
97.5 Glory FM, your family radio station in North Georgia.